Welcome to this time and this space of worship. Welcome to this holy hour. Now, if you are a newcomer, a visitor, a stranger, if you are here out of curiosity, this is what you should know. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, we gather to do a strange and wondrous thing, to turn our full attention to an inscrutable God, a God in whose still speaking voice we strain to hear, whose voice is hard to hear above the world's cacophony. If you are a visitor, a newcomer, a stranger, this is what you should know. We have one task this morning, one high and holy responsibility, to linger in the presence of the living God, the God of Abraham and Sarah, of Jesus and the Marys, to serenade God with song, to listen hard for God's still speaking voice, and to say to God, "Here am I." Welcome to this peculiar time and this sacred space. Welcome to worship with Old South Church in Boston. I have a few announcements. Please take a moment to sign the virtual friendship pad. You'll see the tiny URL in the chat feature. You need to copy and paste it and tell us what brought you here today. We are inviting everyone to participate in our All Church Read, How to Be an Anti-Racist by Ibram Kendi. We hope you will join us for that. You may also want to get involved at Old South Church through a small group, Bible study, book group, or other ministry. There's many ways to get involved. Let us know what interests you. And join us following worship for one of three virtual coffee hours. Our classic coffee hour, Just Come and Chat, the forum, a virtual exploration of the Psalms, and What's the Word with today's preacher. If you've not yet tried our virtual jazz coffee house, Thursday evenings at 6 p.m., you might want to try that, featuring the Willie Sordillo Ensemble. It is quite special. Friends, fellow exiles in this strange season of pandemic, God is in this space. Let us worship God in the beauty of holiness. The peace of Christ be with you. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we come into your presence this day, asking you to bless us with your peace and quietness. Make our hearts peaceful before you as we receive from you the peace of Christ which passes all human understanding. We pray for peace within our church, peace within the communities in which we each live, peace in our homes, peace in a nation torn by fear, pandemic, economic collapse, racism, and partisan divides. It is into these jagged realities that we pray and beg for the deep peace of Christ, a durable peace built on justice. As we prepare our hearts for worship, take from us our sinful pride, And let us leave behind all slights and hurts, all failings that make us wince, all our regrets, that we might freely and fully worship you in this day and hour in the sweet, deep beauty of holiness. It is in the name of Jesus, our brother and Savior, that we pray, saying together, Amen.
Comes from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6. One time, when the king of Aram was at war with Israel, after consulting with his officers, he said,
"At such and such a place, I want an ambush set."
The holy man sent a message to the king of Israel.
"Watch out. When you are passing that place, because Aram has set an ambush there."
So the king of Israel sent word concerning the place which the holy man had warned him of. The king of Aram was furious over all this. He called his officers together and said,
"Officers, tell me, who has been leaking information to the king of Israel? Who is the spy in our ranks?"
"No, my master, dear king, it's not any of us. It's Elisha, the prophet in Israel. He tells the king everything you say, even what you whisper in your bedroom."
"Go and find out where he is. I will send someone to capture him."
"Sir."
The report came back.
"Officers, make your report."
"He's in Dothan."
Then he dispatched horses and chariots, an impressive fighting force. They came by night and surrounded the city. Early in the morning, a servant of the holy man got up and went out. Surprise, horses and chariots surrounding the city. The young man exclaimed,
"Oh, master, what shall we do?"
"Do not be afraid, as there are more on our side than there are on theirs."
Then Elisha prayed,
"Oh God, open his eyes and let him see."
The eyes of the young man were opened, and he saw a wonder. The whole mountainside full of horses and chariots of fire surrounding Elisha. When the Arameans attacked, Elisha prayed to God,
"Make these people blind."
God struck them blind, just as Elisha said. Then Elisha called out to them,
"Not that way, not in this city. Follow me and I'll lead you to the man you're looking for."
And he led them into Samaria. As they entered the city, Elisha prayed,
"Oh God, open their eyes so they can see where they are."
God opened their eyes. They looked around. They were trapped in Samaria. When the king of Israel saw this, he said to Elisha,
"Father, should I massacre the lot?"
"No, you didn't lift a hand to catch them. So now you're going to kill them? No, prepare a feast for them and then send them back to their master."
So he prepared a huge feast for them. After they ate and drank their fill, he dismissed them. When they returned home to their master, the raiding bands of Aram didn't bother Israel anymore. May we be blessed with understanding, and we all say, Amen.
It's good to be with you today, and I miss not seeing you, but I'm just going to ask that you do one thing, that if this word of God is moving, you would just ask that you would put an amen in the chat box. I really would appreciate that. So in Boston and around the country, we are mourning the death of Mimi Jones, who was a veteran civil rights worker who lived in Roxbury, who visited this church on several occasions and had the occasion to serve communion last year. As the news of her passing came, many tributes from national and local officials and community folks that knew her have just poured in. So we want to add our tribute to Mimi Jones this morning and dedicate this reflection to her. A champion of civil rights and a justice fighter. Will you pray with me? Oh God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you in your sight. Oh Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. The scripture that I want you to just note this morning comes from the second book of Kings, and it is simply a few lines, and it goes like this. And Elijah prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." One day out of the clear blue, a man found himself surrounded in what seemed like a hopeless situation. Threats were on every side, and it seemed like there was no way out. Frightened and confused, he ran to his boss, the prophet, who was nearby. The prophet quickly reassured him that what he perceived was only part of the truth and far from the full picture. The man's eyes could only see the impending adversity, yet they were blind to the presence of God. And all he could see was danger. Have you ever responded to a circumstance in this way? As the saying goes, seeing is believing. But what about the times when we do not see the whole picture? Do we have the faith to know that God is at work and there's always more involved than what meets the human eye? Even now in our nation, as we face difficult times, we know that there are threats and adversity all around us. A growing number of people are becoming infected by the virus, and we're mourning the loss of over 150 people, our friends, our neighbors, our colleagues, our family members. We've lost them to the virus. Many people are worried about sending their kids back to school. Will it be safe? People have lost their jobs, their housing, their business, and the ability to feed themselves and their family. This is a time of great loss and suffering. The pandemic has also made it clear that we can no longer ignore the deep systemic inequalities as civil unrest and protesters of all hues of color and ages have taken to the streets to lift their voices around the inadequacies. The disease of racism is not just a white policeman kneeling over a black man's neck and killing him. It is decades of neglect of housing policy and transportation and the like. We don't have to go very far to look for trouble because it's seeking us out. It demands our attention as we work to not pay it attention. It is demanding our attention and it is impacting our thought process and our mindset. But you know what? In these days, it is critical for us to know that there is more to the story or the circumstance that is screaming for our attention. There are other factors that are at play, like the fact that God is love and God is always working on our behalf for justice. God is the one who puts herself in harm's way to show love and care. We need to be reminded that we are not alone in this thing, my friend. In our scripture, we learn that the servant looked at the circumstance in front of him and just feared the worst. But our prophet saw it as an opportunity to move forward in confidence. His prayer was not to take the threat away or to remove the fear or to give strength. The prayer was simply this: open his eyes that he might perceive the truth the whole story, the picture. Open his eyes so that he can see that God is in the midst of the storm and there's no reason to fear. Open eyes are what changes things in us and for us. Not only does opening our eyes cause us to silence our fears, opening our eyes empowers us to move in every circumstance with the confidence that God is in the picture. In 1964, a young girl of the age of 17, her name was Mimi Nail Ford Jones, joined other young activists in a swim-in at an all-white hotel swimming pool in St. Augustine, Florida. They were there to protest Jim Crow. The photos of the demonstration included one showing Mimi screaming while the manager of the hotel poured acid into the pool behind her. This became an iconic picture telling the story of racism around the world. In recalling the events of that day, Mimi reported that the police, fully clothed, jumped into the pool, not to help the protesters, but to arrest them. With open eyes, Mimi Jones saw the big picture of God, this God of justice and love at work in the universe and in her life. With open arms, she saw freedom, not just for herself, but for others to be free. That's what we call selfless love. She could taste freedom and the right to vote that had been promised to Black people after the Civil War. But these rights were systematically denied. And instead, for decades, Black people were brutalized and traumatized by state-sanctioned lynching. It was not until people of courage in the 50s and 60s, people like Mimi Jones and John Lewis and many others that we can't even name this morning, and her family came together to demonstrate, to protest, to pray, and to challenge the Jim Crow segregation. They dismantled Jim Crow, and her moment of protest propelled into lighting the fuse for the Selma March and the movement and the Voter Rights Act of 1964. Mimi Jones was my friend, and she was a friend of Old South Church. She looked at the world with open eyes, spiritual eyes, because seeing is not always believing. God invites us to open our eyes so that we can come up just a little bit higher and see the sunlight and to see the power and the majesty of God. So here's the point this morning as I wrap up. Open eyes are what changes things for us. Open eyes change things in us. Not only does the opening of our eyes cause the silencing of our fears, the opening of our eyes empowers us to move in every given circumstance with the confidence that God is in the picture. Seeing with open eyes enables us to do as our God does. Love anyways, as Mimi and the prophet showed us. Elijah prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." May this be our prayer this morning and for the week. Lord, open our eyes. Amen.
Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, may I be like you.
Let us pray. Holy God, this coming to worship is serious business. The world is out of joint, and our lives are out of joint. Generally, we do our best, but you see what we are really like. Sometimes we know very well we have gone wrong. Sometimes we just know that your holiness is beyond us. And yet your compassion is over all you have made. Have mercy on us. Forgive what is wrong, strengthen what is right, and guide us in your way. Holy God, this coming to worship is hopeful business. We come with our concerns and our fears, with people on our hearts, weighed down by troubles and worries. We name these silently before you now. Open your generous hand to embrace our struggles, to renew our faith, that you hold us close. Our eyes are wide open to the wonders of who you are. Thank you for giving us what we need to live in this world. Embolden us to root out racism, overturn injustice, liberate what is bound, and set hearts free. Help us to live lives of purpose and of strength in your gospel promises. We pray this in the name of your precious Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This pandemic has scattered us, separated us, made us afraid of each other. I watch people walking on the sidewalks giving wide berth to strangers. There is dis-ease, a sense of dislocation, an endless unknowing. And yet, have we not known community in this space of grace? Have we not been surprised by how much ministry and mission we have been able to carry on and carry out? Not all of you can support our work. These are hard times. People have lost jobs. Some of you have lost jobs. The economy is in free fall. Not all of you can financially support our Christian ministries of mercy and justice and beauty in this time. We know, we understand. Give yourselves a pass, give yourselves a break. This is for those who are able to give. Those for whom generosity is not a hardship, but a blessing. To you, I say, our ministries are touching lives today, changing lives, forcing police reform, teaching anti-racism, teaching children, mentoring youth, providing shelter and hospitality to the unhoused, and support to those on the edge of homelessness. Our ministries are protecting a defenseless and imperiled creation. To you, I say, the morning's offering will be given and received. If you hover your cursor over your screen, you'll see a donate button about here. Oh,
If you know the story we are about to tell, then sit back, relax, and take it in. If you haven't heard this story before or for a very long time, then pay attention, because this is the greatest story ever told. On a Thursday evening, Jesus gathered with his closest friends, the disciples. When they were at table, Jesus took the bread. He blessed it. He broke it. And he gave it to them and said, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the meal, Jesus took the cup. He gave God thanks for it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Drink, friends, and drink deeply. For this cup is the cup of the new covenant, poured out for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." I invite you to extend your hands in that ancient posture of Christian blessing as we give God thanks for this meal. Let us pray. God and Mother of us all, who is above all and through all and in all, come and rest upon our bread and dive deep into our cups. Through this meal, nourish and strengthen us to be your church, humble, gentle, patient, and fierce, worthy of our calling. Empower and renew us, that we may be bread and cup for a world hungry and thirsty for you, O God. All this we ask through the bread of heaven, who invites all to the feast, Jesus Christ. Amen. If there is a small part of you that worries if you are worthy to feast at this table, remember that with Jesus that evening was one who would doubt, one who would betray, one who would deny, and in his hour of greatest need, they would all desert him, and he knew it. If he was willing to eat with them, he is willing to eat with us. All you have to be is hungry for God. The bread of life and the cup of salvation. These are the gifts of God for you, the scattered but whole and worthy people of God. Amen. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, by this meal you have filled us with your life. Christ our Savior, you have embraced us with your love. God our Mother, you have fed us with your grace. Now, send us out into your beloved world to share this feast of life, love, and grace with all. Blessing and honor and glory to you, holy, holy, holy God. Amen.
Bless and keep you, and make his face shine upon you, and give you peace. Amen.